Attention all you rule breakers, you misfits and troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists. Everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what's right with you. You see things others don't. You are hardwired to change the world.
Hello, my name is Rahasia, and I'm going to be your host this evening. And I also write a column for the Lotus Guide magazine, and you can find pretty much everything that I do by typing in hashtag Rahasia Uncensored. Welcome to the Spiritual Activist Radio Show here on BBS Radio. And you might be asking, why spiritual? Well, the way I see it, we are misguided souls looking for the truth of who we are. You might be asking, why activist? Well, because we are living in transformative times when we need to take back our power as spiritual beings and take action in the world, not with violence, but by the evolution of spiritual consciousness and bringing what's going on in the world out into the light. Because like it or not, we are deep into everything from genetic modification to artificial intelligence, and at the same time watching a dysfunctional world collapse right before our very eyes, and a global monetary system that is at the end of its run. Its days are coming to a close. So thank you for tuning in for the next hour, and I hope you enjoy the show. Well, hello again from BBS Radio, which is bbsradio.com/spiritualactivist. I also have a Rumble channel, rumble.com/user/Rahasia Uncensored. You can check out my YouTube channel for some of my older videos. I've stopped posting there for a while until they come to their senses. That's youtube.com/lotusguide, L-O-T-U-S-G-U-I-D-E. If you ever want to email me, my email is rahasia@usa.com. Okay, let's just sort of dive right into this, because I've been watching what's going on like a lot of you, and I just get overwhelmed sometimes, but I'm just going to throw a bunch at you today, so just sort of sit back and just sort of take all of this craziness in. But inside the craziness, there's a lot of people waking up to it. It's forcing people to wake up, matter of fact. You almost have to be brain dead at this point. So I'm just going to play a bunch of little videos here, and I'll comment along the way, but I'm going to try to keep it short, my comments, because it's a lot of material here. So let's just dig in and start in with this, and we'll see where we end up. Okay, let's just give you an idea. Whatever they're accusing you of is exactly what they're doing. Keep that in mind. This is a montage of all of the news channels, the fake news channels, and let's just see Mockingbird, Project Mockingbird. You can see the synchronicity of a lot of what they're saying. This is just one small example. I remember The Daily Show, and Jon Stewart used to do this with newscasts and show that they're saying the same things on all the programs, which means there's talking points that's being given to them by Reuters and APS. So listen to this.
More alarming, some media outlets publish the same fake stories without checking facts first.
The sharing of biased and
false news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media outlets publish the same fake stories without checking facts first.
Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias.
We should note that during our conversation, Kennedy made false claims about the COVID-19 vaccines. Data shows that the COVID-19 vaccines prevented millions of hospitalizations and deaths from the disease. He also made misleading claims about the relationship between vaccination and autism. Research shows that vaccines and the ingredients used.
Now keep in mind that this woman, she's not a doctor. She's not a researcher. She's just sitting there reading off of a script, talking about somebody that does the hard work of researching.
The vaccines do not cause autism, including multiple studies involving more than a million children and major medical associations like the American Academy of Pediatrics and the advocacy group Autism Speaks. We've used our editorial judgment and not including extended portions of that exchange in our interview. We thank Mr. Kennedy for the conversation.
Keep in mind, this woman has no idea what she's talking about. None whatsoever. And we're going to get into RFK because I remember when he came here to our area with the Paradise Fire, we were did an interview and my wife and I, we had lunch with him. And some of the things he was telling us sort of all coming true. And he told us a few things at the time that we couldn't really share. One of them was the conspiracy theory about his dad being shot. You got to look that up. That's a good one. Now, this is, they're going to be attacking this guy. Since he's stepping up and saying, hey, I'm going to run for the Democratic ticket to be president of the United States. If he gets on the Democratic ticket and runs against Trump, say, either way, I think we win, you know, and it would bring out, that is a perfect platform for him to bring out all of this stuff, climate change, vaccinations, and everything. This is just a short little thing by Greg Reese.
Just a few months after being sworn in as president, John F. Kennedy, RFK Jr.'s uncle, said the following in a speech given before the American Newspaper Publishers Association.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it.
On November 22, 1963, President Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas. There are hours of damning evidence clearly showing that the CIA, organized crime, and the highest levels of the U.S. federal government were all involved in the assassination of John F. Kennedy, including the magic bullet, the grassy knoll, and the presence of young CIA asset George H.W. Bush in Dallas that day, a day that he claims he could not remember. But the entire operation was blamed on a single lone gunman. An hour after hearing that his brother was assassinated, Robert Kennedy told his close aide that he was surprised it wasn't him. He thought that he would be the one they would get. Over the next few days, he wrote letters to his children, charging them with the responsibility to love and serve their country and to remember what their Uncle John had started. A few years later, the New York Times published an article claiming that President Kennedy told one of the highest officials in his administration that he wanted to splinter the CIA in 1,000 pieces and scatter it to the winds. On March 16, 1968, Robert Kennedy officially announced he was running for president. On June 5th, following major victories in the primaries, he was gunned down after giving a speech at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles, California. Nina Rhodes Hughes was one of a small few who witnessed the assassination, and she claims there was another shooter. She later expressed outrage that the police ignored her statement. The shot that killed Robert Kennedy was fired up close in the back of his head, and the whole operation was blamed on a single lone gunman who was standing in front of him.
But it appears that they concluded within about an hour's time that Saran acted alone, or that was going to be their conclusion, and they thereafter tailored all of the evidence to fit that conclusion.
Regicide is the ritual killing of a king to memorialize a subversion of power. And while the Kennedy family is as greasy as the rest of the swamp, the two brothers stand out like mythical kings. Aside from Dr. Ron Paul, who said we need to get rid of them completely, nobody in government questions the crimes of the CIA. While promoting a book on television in 1978, a young RFK Jr. referred to American politics as a one-party system and his father and uncle's demise as an occupational hazard. In March of 1999, John F. Kennedy Jr. had a meeting to plan a run for the 2000 U.S. Senate election against Hillary Clinton. 4 months later, he died in a fatal plane crash with all the telltale signs of a cover-up. Recently declassified documents show that Lee Harvey Oswald, the alleged lone gunman in the JFK assassination, was a CIA asset. RFK Jr. is running for president in 2024 and calls out the CIA for the deadly vaccines. He also blames the CIA for the murder of his uncle, which he calls a successful coup d'etat from which our democracy has never recovered. And he believes that his father was assassinated by the security guard who shot him from behind after pushing him into their patsy, Sirhan Sirhan.
One of the interesting things about this case is that Sirhan Sirhan was reportedly in front of Robert Kennedy, and investigators initially said that he was murdered by a gunshot wound that went through the back of him. So,
reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
I mean, if that doesn't give you something to think about, and the fact that we just let this stuff go by as a society, I have to say shame on us. It's been more important to go to the football game or the basketball game or watch whatever the TV nonsense is at the time. Now, this is a little bit about fear. This is what they do. They create fear in us. And once they have us, they can find a little relief valve, whether it's pharmaceuticals or entertainment or sex or whatever.
The world conspiracy is in inept hands right now. Whereas prior to the first half of the 20th century, it was in very expert hands. The old guard died.
This is Michael Tesserian. He's really a great researcher, too, if you ever look him up.
Oh, if you don't have your Cecil Rhodes anymore and you don't have your Lord Kitcheners anymore, you know. So the new brats that came in to rule the system in the place of their fathers are fucking cuckoo and they're inept at running the machine. But the one thing that they still maintain is fear, right? So our modern age is an age of anxiety and also fear, because fear is the mind killer. And so they manufacture all sorts of Dr. Strangelove Frankensteinian stories about the world to come. And you just go, well, that's it. We'll be immobilized. I'll have a band and or my cell phone and they'll know where I am and I won't be able to move and I won't be able to do it. And all of this is potentially true. But there's an equal case for the possibility of bringing those things to bear, as much as there is the theory that they can be put in place. Anyone who studied the Brotherhood for 5 minutes properly and sincerely knows that it is through the fear that they generate within me that they not only feed off, but control us all. It's an invisible enemy. The other stuff, at least, you know, maybe I can do something about that or move to the country or, you know, so the human race might rise up and might. But while I'm waiting for that, I'm drowning in psychological terror. That is the control mechanism. That is the control mechanism. The fear is the mind killer.
The main character in Frank Herbert's Dune uses a mantra to overcome his fears. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. And when it has gone past me, I will turn to see fear's path. Where the fear has gone, there will be nothing. Only I will remain. And from the Book of Psalms, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Fear is natural, but to dwell there only breeds despair. The power of our free will is most pertinent in the mind, where we have sway over our thoughts, focus, and decisions. Staying positive isn't just for restorative retreats on the beach. It's the solution to every problem we face. Even under the highest stress, the military is trained to maintain esprit de corps at all levels, a common spirit of a group inspiring enthusiasm, devotion, and honor for that group. Positive feelings prevail in every endeavor, including battle. Artificial intelligence seems...
Keep in mind, too, if you want to know more about fear and all of the negative emotions and how important that is to really get a handle on, if you go to BBS Radio or Rumble, to my channels, I did Wetiko Parts 1 through 5. Wetiko is an interdimensional invading spirit, demonic spirit, The Zulu people call it the Chitsahuri. The Hopis call it the Ant People. The Gnostics call it Archons. Every tribe, every indigenous people, every culture, they all have a name for it, but they've all noticed in their civilizations at one time or another, they get overrun by these interdimensional entities that come in through the negative emotions of people.
Understand this as well. In Cliff High's recent Shadow Wars, AI program ChatGPT was prompted to help develop a story about a world that has been ruled for thousands of years by a non-human species that hides in the shadows and uses media, government, and education to brainwash the masses and control them with fear. ChatGPT was asked, what strategies and tactics could the awake humans employ to defeat the enemy and awaken humanity? The AI program said that ultimately, the key to unlocking the trapped minds of the normal humans will be to appeal to their innate desires for freedom, autonomy, truth, and transparency. It recommended that the awake humans should expose the truth, mobilize the masses, and build alternative institutions that serve these values of individual freedom. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
That's all we're trying to do out here. All of these little podcasts and people like me, we're just trying to grab the truth wherever we see it, wherever we find it, and put it back out there. Expose it. Use the internet to our advantage, because it's now or never, folks. It's now or never. And if you think, my wife and I, we're getting ready to go on a diet, and I'll share something real quick with you. We have goats, and they had some baby goats, and I took the baby goats and one of the mothers to the local auction. I'll never do that again. I did get them to auction them all off together, and the guy that bought them bought the mother goat and the baby goats for the milk. He's wanting to get goat milk, so that's pretty good. But it is so horrendous there to see these animals and how we're treating them. If our goats will probably have more babies over the years and everything, but I will be looking around, putting them on Craigslist, Facebook, whatever I can do to make sure that they go to good homes, little farms. They're great for cutting down the fire fuel around your homes and stuff. But it's getting to be more than that now, more than cruelty to animals. It's cruelty to us when we start thinking about what they're doing to our meat. And this is a little bit about what's been happening to our meat, and it's only the beginning, and this is only what we know.
The genetic editing of plants to contain edible vaccines is well underway. Work is being done with bananas, potatoes, tomatoes, lettuce, rice, wheat, soybeans, and corn. Companies like Medicago are using gene editing to turn plants into mini bioreactors.
Medicago's manufacturing facility looks like a nursery, but inside these plants, they're growing a new kind of vaccine. The technology is called a virus-like particle.
At Medicago, we use a careful step-by-step process to develop vaccines, using our plants as mini bioreactors. We start with the gene sequence or code of a virus. We then use our technology to synthesize the virus code into a real biological product. The code contains genetic instructions that our plants can read, and we insert it into bacteria called Agrobacterium tumefaciens. We submerge the plants in a bath with the bacteria that carries the information into the plant cells. And using a vacuum, we suck out the air between the plant cells and replace it with the liquid. The plants absorb it like a sponge. At the end of their bacterial bath, we return our plants to a carefully controlled greenhouse to let...
How can you say bacterial bath without it not sounding like a very good thing? And keep in mind, this is what I'm talking about with the animals. The animals are eating all of these plants.
Get on with our natural growing business for at least 4 days. Now the plants will start producing the most important ingredient of our vaccines, virus-like particles.
Gene editing is now officially in our meat industry. Lobbyists for the cattlemen and pork associations in several states have confirmed that they will be using the mRNA COVID vaccines on their livestock. Attorney Tom Renz has been warning that there is no law requiring anyone to give informed consent for vaccine food. There are no laws requiring anyone to tell you the food you are buying has been vaxxed with the spike protein clot shot. The UK recently passed into law the Genetic Technology Precision Breeding Bill. The bill amends the Environmental Protection Act of 1990 to exclude references to precision bred organisms so far as they relate to marketing. Precision bred organism is another term for gene edited. So now in the UK, food that's been gene edited can be legally marketed as non-GMO. And if this UK gene-edited meat makes its way to America, it can be labeled non-GMO here as well. And so long as it's butchered in America, it can be labeled product of USA. The fake alternative meat being pushed by Bill Gates and others is made of immortal cell lines. In other words, cancerous tumor cells. Real meat is being blamed for climate change. And a recent independent study suggests that most of our meat is already contaminated. Using infrared spectroscopy and electron microscopy, Dr. Anna Maria Mialcia has been studying the blood of the vaxxed and the unvaxxed for over a year now.
When you hear what Anna, Dr. Anna, has to say, I don't know if anybody would even eat food anymore. It seems like the only way we're going to get decent food is to grow it ourselves or know some local farm at the farmer's market, something. Because my theory is this, real quick, like, I'm not sure that putting mRNA technology in the fruits and vegetables and meat is really what they want to do, but it would accomplish one thing. If people thought that they were getting the vaccination through their food supply, but they couldn't go anywhere because they weren't getting their shot and they wanted their vaccination to just have the passport, they'd probably just say, you know what, I'm getting it anyway. I might as well just take the shot so I can travel. That might be what they have in mind.
At first, she was finding the same contamination in only the blood of the vaxxed, a contamination that she describes as ribbon-like structures, much like the mysterious blood clots being found by coroners. But lately she's been finding these ribbon-like structures in the blood of the unvaxxed as well. By measuring the frequency of one of these mysterious rubbery blood clots, Dr. David Jennigan has developed a way of detecting the same frequency in the vaxxed. Recently, he's found this unique frequency in the meat being sold in his local grocery store, and asked Dr. Mialcia to confirm his findings. Her microscopy showed that the blood samples taken from products in the grocery store were all contaminated with the similar ribbon-like structures found in the blood of the vaxxed. Most of the meat in the grocery store is from overseas, and if we want to eat uncontaminated meat, we'll have to start buying direct from farms in America that still produce all natural organic protein.
And there's more to this one, but I really want to get through some of this stuff because there's some other things I want to show you. Now, this is, I'm going to throw a smorgasbord of information at you. Don't expect that there's some kind of synchronicity or I'm trying to weave a dialogue in the background to you. I'm just throwing a lot out there just to try to get your mind to start thinking a little bit about what's going on.
Well, hello everyone. This is Yasmin.
Nope, we won't have time for her. Okay, this is on Tucker Carlson.
Good evening, it's Tucker Carlson. One of the first things you realize when you step outside the noise for a few days is how many genuinely nice people there are in this country, kind and decent people, people who really care about what's true, and a bunch of hilarious people also.
Well, I can see why Fox News didn't want him on there. Jesus.
It's got to be the majority of the population, even now. So that's heartening. The other thing you notice when you take a little time off is how unbelievably stupid most of the debates you see on television are. They're completely irrelevant. They mean nothing. In 5 years, we won't even remember that we had them. Trust me, as someone who's participated. And yet at the same time, and this is the amazing thing, the undeniably big topics, the ones that will define our future, get virtually no discussion at all. War, civil liberties, emerging science, demographic change, corporate power, natural resources. When was the last time you heard a legitimate debate about any of those issues? It's been a long time. Debates like that are not permitted in American media. Both political parties and their donors have reached consensus on what benefits them, and they actively collude to shut down any conversation about it. Suddenly, the United States looks very much like a one-party state. That's a depressing realization, but it's not permanent. Our current orthodoxies won't last. They're brain dead. Nobody actually believes them. Hardly anyone's life is improved by them. This moment is too inherently ridiculous to continue, and so it won't. The people in charge know this. That's why they're hysterical and aggressive. They're afraid. They've given up persuasion. They're resorting to force. But it won't work. When honest people say what's true, calmly and without embarrassment, they become powerful. At the same time, the liars who've been trying to silence them shrink, and they become weaker. That's the iron law of the universe. True things prevail. Where can you still find Americans saying true things? There aren't many places left, but there are some, and that's enough. As long as you can hear the words, there is hope. See you soon.
Good. So what he's saying here is so important, because not only saying the truth empowers you, but saying lies have to be reinforced by other lies. You obviously can't debate them with research and facts, but it disempowers you. But I've also found that being silent can disempower you. You know, our silence, it could be our greatest weakness right now, because I see so many people, they just so silent on what's happening in America. And I think we need to get past that. Now, I'm sure you know this, but Tucker Carlson was fired from Fox and all that. And it's going to be interesting to see what he does. Because now he's been unshackled, so to speak. So it could get real interesting. I wish he felt different about politics. He doesn't want to go into politics, and I don't blame him. He thinks they're all a bunch of lying, thieving scoundrels, and he doesn't want to expose himself to that. But he'd make a good politician, though.
I'm in termination and have a lot of thoughts about it. I want to, I think, break some news for you. Tucker Carlson hasn't actually been fired. He's still an employee of the Fox News Channel. What happened was Suzanne Scott called him, she's the CEO, on Monday morning and said he was not going to be allowed to do any more shows and that he had been kicked out of his company email. And now they're going to have to negotiate an exit. Some reporting to me suggests that she said it's going to be an amicable parting, right? Isn't it?
Megyn Kelly was also fired from Fox, along with Glenn Beck and Bill O'Reilly, a few others, because they started speaking the truth. So Fox News is better than CNN in some ways, but it's our controlled opposition. So you have to be really careful, because controlled opposition can throw in some really good truths and slip in the lies. You don't even realize it. Let me go on. That was Megyn Kelly talking about Tucker Carlson, because this is a big deal happening right now. And let's have a little more information about Tucker Carlson.
That's the first lesson of history. You know, nothing is permanent.
Now, unfortunately, I can't watch the whole thing of this. But it's so good. This is the day before he got fired. Let's call it what it is. And he speaks so clearly. Dang it. I'm not going to have time to really go through this. Let me pull this down if I have time to watch it later, we will, but I don't think so. Tulsi Gabbard, she's another one too. I think my perfect ticket would be Trump for president, RFK Jr. for vice president, Tulsi Gabbard for Speaker of the House. If we had those people in there, they would do some upsetting.
Tulsi Gabbard joins us tonight, and we're happy that she is. Tulsi Gabbard, thank you so much for coming on. That was quite a statement. I'm listening to this, and I'm thinking, we have Republicans on the show from time to time. They don't put it as clearly and bravely as you do. So how do you feel? I mean, you've been in this party a long time. You were its future. You left. I mean, this has got to be kind of a fraught moment for you.
And, you know, Tucker, as you know, I've always been an independent-minded person, a Democrat, yes, but an independent Democrat. And my loyalties are very clear. I love our country. And I took an oath, both as a service member, as a soldier, as well as a member of Congress, to support and defend the Constitution.
From all enemies, domestic and foreign. I have something else here by her where she gets right straight into how she feels about things. This is only a minute. I'm rushing through this because I want to get through some of this so I can get as much in as possible.
I can no longer remain in today's Democratic Party that's under the complete control of an elitist cabal of warmongers who are driven by cowardly wokeness, who divide us by racializing every issue and stoking anti-white racism, who actively work to undermine our God-given freedoms that are enshrined in our Constitution, who are hostile to people of faith and spirituality, who demonize the police but protect criminals at the expense of law-abiding Americans, who believe in open borders, who weaponize the national security state to go after their political opponents, and above all, who are dragging us ever closer to nuclear war. Now, I believe in a government that's of the people, by the people, and for the people. Unfortunately, today's Democratic Party does not. Instead, it stands for a government that is of, by, and for the powerful elite. Now, I'm calling on my fellow common sense, independent-minded Democrats to join me in leaving the Democratic Party. If you can no longer stomach the direction that the so-called woke Democratic Party ideologues are taking our country, then I invite you to join me.
And that pretty much says it all. Because she served 17 years, two or three tours of Iraq. I mean, she's been around. So we need more people like that. Now here's a little bit of something from the past.
Remarks of the president to the American Newspaper Publishers Association, Waldorf Astoria Hotel, New York City, April 27, 1961.
This is worth listening to again, because we hear so much of this stuff and it just goes in one ear and out. This is so important.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes,
or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program. For from that scrutiny comes understanding, and from that understanding comes support or opposition, and both are necessary. I am not asking your newspapers to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. For I have complete confidence. And the response and dedication of our citizens whenever they are fully informed. I not only could not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices, to lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even anger public opinion. This means greater coverage and analysis of international news. For it is no longer far away and foreign, but close at hand and local. It means greater attention to improved understanding of the news, as well as improved transmission. And it means, finally, that government at all levels must meet its obligation to provide you with the fullest possible information outside the narrowest limits of national security. And we intend to do it. And so it is to the printing press, to the recorder of man's deeds, the keeper of his conscience, the courier of his news, that we look for strength and assistance, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
We spoke to someone who had access to these still hidden CIA documents, a person who was deeply familiar with what they contain. We asked this person directly, did the CIA have a hand in the murder of John F. Kennedy, an American president? And here's the reply we received verbatim. Quote, "The answer is yes. I believe they were involved. It's a whole different country from what we thought it was. It's all fake." It's hard to imagine a more jarring response than that. Again, this is not a, quote, conspiracy theorist that we spoke to. Not even close. This is someone with direct knowledge of the information that once again is being withheld from the American public. And the answer we received was unequivocal. Yes, the CIA was involved in the assassination of the president. Now, some people will not be surprised to hear that. They suspected it all along. But no matter how you feel about or what you thought about the Kennedy assassination, pause to consider what this means. It means that within the US government, there are forces wholly beyond democratic control. These forces are more powerful than the elected officials that supposedly oversee them. Forces can affect election outcomes. They can even hide their complicity in the murder of an American president. In other words, they can do pretty much anything they want. They constitute a government within a government, mocking by their very existence the idea of democracy. Cynical as we have become after 30 years of watching government officials ignore the voters who employ them, we were shocked to learn this. It's not acceptable. Americans have trusted their government less with every passing year since the killing of John F. Kennedy. Maybe this is why. And people have known this for a long time. The people who knew would include every director of the CIA since November of 1963. And that list would include Obama's CIA director, John Brennan, one of the most sinister and dishonest figures in American life. That list would also include, we are sad to say, our friend Mike Pompeo.
So Tucker Carlson was sitting here 2 weeks ago interviewing you. He's gone. What do you make of that?
Well, I'm shocked. I'm surprised. He's a very good person, a very good man, and very talented, as you know, and he had very high ratings. So we're just learning about it almost as we speak. You and I just said, wow, that was something. That's a big one. I don't know if it was voluntary or was it somebody fired, but I think Tucker's been terrific. He's been, especially over the last year or so, he's been terrific to me.
There's a lot of turmoil over there, Fox. I mean, $787 they just paid. Why would they get rid of a guy who's performing? Why would somebody do that to their business? Because they're losing money right now. Their stock has gone down.
Well, I was surprised that they made a settlement on that case. I thought that was a case that should easily be won. And they made a settlement. Look, you'll have to ask them. I'm not representing them at all by any means. But the Tucker situation, again, you don't know if it's a firing. Maybe he left because he wasn't being given his free rein. He wants free rein, maybe. But
that could very well be. And I think that might be what was behind it. So we'll find out. This guy is really good, too. This is the war room. Listen what he has to say here.
And it's national security. That's what's converging and conflating this crisis, this collapse. The Murdochs have that, they're at the center of that. Their global media empire is at the center of that, of the neoliberal, neocon world order. And that is what is collapsing before you. You're the only ones that can keep it going because they need your taxes. They need your pension funds. They need the insurance companies that have your money. And most importantly, they need your sons and daughters to go die on foreign battlefields, on wars that are forgotten afterwards and have no victory. That's the tragedy for, you know, when Mo was over in Iraq, you sit there every day, you have no control. It's all in God's hands. But you're sitting there, what is this all for? What am I doing? Is this for the Iraqis to have democracy so that a couple of years later they can sit there and go, you know what? We're gonna sell the oil to the Chinese Communist Party. We're gonna have a huge output deal, and guess what? We're gonna convert it. We're gonna only take it in a Chinese yuan. You're not gonna convert into dollars to break the petrodollar. That's the reality of the world.
Okay, Murdoch, here's the way it's gonna be, brother. You've disrespected Donald J. Trump long enough. Okay. He goes to East Palestine and gets the Biden administration. It's a global news event and you don't cover it live. Is there that much happening on Fox News at 2 p.m. that you can't cover him live? He hasn't been on Fox News since he announced for presidency. Let me ask you, any guy that brought peace to the world for 4 years until the Chinese let off a bioweapon, right? Wouldn't you think to have respect for the audience, you would have him back up here to talk about the geopolitical? What if you had respect for people, wouldn't you do that? They don't respect you. Read the depositions. The deposition, they have a fear, a loathing, and contempt for you. And you're the ones that can make changes. The shareholders, if you want your share price to stay up, you need to take action. The first thing you need to do is get rid of Paul Ryan as an independent director.
People are starting to speak out now. And I wouldn't call myself a Trumper, because there's some things about Trump that I don't trust. One is he's narcissistic. And if you're a narcissist, you can be easily controlled and manipulated by strong, wise, intelligent, powerful people. That's a danger. And I hope this time if he wins, he has better people around him than he did the last time. The other thing is the vaccinations. He has to back off of that. Has to.
If Paul Ryan's saying that Trump wins, he's not going to go, then you got to get rid of him. The Murdochs immediately have to start covering President Trump.
Wow. Tuesday, that was a pretty good speech. Tuesday, 25 April. If I do so, I love a guy gives his own reviews. Two thumbs up for Bannon. Tuesday, I get all confused here. 25 April, year of our Lord, 2023. In studio, it's so hot today, so much stuff happening. We brought in Caroline Wren, a total bomb thrower. Thank you for joining us. We got so much to talk about today.
Of course.
So appreciate it. You're going to be here for the whole 2 hours. We've got Carrie Lace going to show up later. We've got a lot going on. Matt Schlapp's going to join us. Talk about.
You know, this interview he's doing is so good, but I am running out of time. So I need to think about that because I'd like to run a little bit of this past you with Tucker Carlson here. The speech that he gave to the Heritage Foundation is really great. Okay, I'm just going to play some of this until right up to the very, very end. This is about a 20-minute talk, but I'm just going to play a little clip from it to give you an idea. I think he knew he was on his way out of Fox, because like I say, the next day he was fired.
I'm not mad at people, I'm just sad. I'm disappointed. How could you go along with this? You know it's not true, but you're saying it anyway? Really, you're putting your pronouns in your email? You're ridiculous. You know, but no one else thinks it's ridiculous. Oh, no, it's the pronouns in the email. What does that even mean? What does that even mean? You're saying things you can't define. LGBTQIA+? Who's the plus? The plus is invited to my show anytime. Find a plus and I'll interview him. What's it like to be a plus? Am I a plus? I'm serious. I feel like I'm an addition. Does that make me a plus? No one even knows what it is. And the whole society, LGBTQIA+. All right, what's the plus? Oh, shut up, racist. Okay. So you reach that place and you feel, and this is one of the reasons, Father Scalia, I was actually overcome a little bit with emotion as you prayed, because I realized that I was so upset by the behavior of some people I love, frankly, in a country I revere and always have, that I wasn't praying for the country. You know, that's on me, and we all should be. But back to my point. So you see the sadness happening. But there is, as there always is, this is a fact of nature and theology and of observable reality, there is a countervailing force at work always. There's a counterbalance to the badness. It's called goodness. And you see it in people. So for every 10 people who are putting he and him in their electronic J.P. Morgan email signatures, there's one person who's like, no, I'm not doing that. Sorry, I don't want to fight, but like, I'm not doing that. It's a betrayal of what I think is true. It's a betrayal of my conscience, of my faith, of my sense of myself, of my dignity as a human being, of my autonomy. I am not a slave. I am a free citizen, and I'm not doing that. And there's nothing you can do to me to make me do it.
Okay, now he's going to talk about the kind of people that have stepped up, spoken up, and showed up, and spoken truth to power. And it's been a surprise to me that the people that have spoken up, and it's been a real surprise the people that didn't speak up, got in line for their vaccinations, even paid for them. And here's what he has to say.
But because I'm sort of paid to predict things, I try and think a lot about, you know, what connects certain outcomes that I should have seen before they occurred. And in this case, there is no thread that I can find that connects all of the people who've popped up in my life to be that lone, brave person in the crowd who says, no, thank you. You could not have known who these people are. They don't fit a common profile. Some are people like me. Some of them don't look like me at all. Some of them are people I despised on political grounds just a few years ago. I could name their names, but you may not even know about their transformations. I don't want to wreck your dinner by telling you who they are. But there's in one case someone who I made fun of on television and certainly in my private life in vulgar ways, who was really the embodiment of everything I found repulsive, who in the middle of COVID decided, no, I'm not going along with this. And once you say one true thing and stick with it, all kinds of other true things occur to you. The truth is contagious. Lying is, but the truth is as well. And the second you decide to tell the truth about something, you are filled with this, I don't want to get supernatural on you, but you are filled with this power from somewhere else. Try it. Tell the truth about something. You feel it every day. The more you tell the truth, the stronger you become.
That's so true. So true. And I find it to be true within myself, too. Now he's going to be talking about different age groups, and my age group specifically. We're sort of caught in the past, you know, and we have to recognize that the world is changing. And this is an interesting part of his little talk here.
I'm just noting what's super obvious. Like, those of us who are in our mid-50s are caught in the past in the way that we think about this. One side's like, no, you know, I've got this idea, and we've got this idea, and let's have a debate about our ideas. They don't want a debate. Those ideas won't produce outcomes that any rational person would want under any circumstances. Those are manifestations of some larger force acting upon us. It's just so obvious.
And that larger force is what we're calling the deep state, the cabal, the globalist. And what he's saying it's so obvious, and it's crazy because it is so obvious to so many people I know, including myself, but it's so well hidden from the minds of other people. And I can't understand why they can't see it. It's like I'm walking out in the park or something, and I'm looking at a tree, and I'm walking with a friend and say, wow, look at that tree. And he says, what tree? That tree. Right there in front of us. Right there. You can't see it? What are you talking about? It's that obvious what's going on, and it's that well hidden to so many people.
It's completely obvious. And I think two things. One, we should say that and stop engaging in these totally fraudulent debates where we are using the terms that we used in 1991 when I started at Heritage, as if maybe, you know, I could just win the debate if I marshaled more facts. I've tried that, doesn't work. And two, maybe we should all take just like 10 minutes a day to say a prayer about it.
And I think I'll leave it at that, because I don't know what I am. Maybe agnostic at best. I don't have the luxury of having enough faith to believe without evidence. But even I am getting to the point where I'm thinking about saying some prayers once in a while for our planet, the people, humanity, our country. They say only drowning sailors find God. Well, I'm not drowning, but I'm treading water like crazy. And I think if we don't find our way out of this, we're all going to drown. And I don't see any ships coming off in the near future to save us. I think it's up to us to find the justice, just us, and start changing our world with the immediate environment around us, helping our friends, being more sustainable in our life, doing whatever we can. And when we find information like this, pass it on. Pass it on. Share it with your friends. You know, let's help wake some people up. There's a lot of good people out here right now trying their best, and we're putting a lot on the line. Like, if this globalist agenda keeps on going, eventually they're going to come after me because of what I'm talking about, what I'm saying. I can't be on Facebook. I can't be on YouTube. I can't be on LinkedIn. Twitter, I've never got on there anyway. I probably should. It's a good way to promote my podcast. I'm a terrible promoter, but I figure if people want to watch it, they'll watch it. If they don't, they don't. If they want to share it, like it, whatever. If you like what I've been talking about, you like my podcast, and you want to see more, remember, I'm not being supported by George Soros. That's a good thing. And I depend on donations. And you can go to lotusguide.com/donation. I have a couple of links there. and they're all secured. You can give with credit card, whatever. And it's all appreciated. So thank you very much. And if you want to email me, that's Rahasia, R-A-H-A-S-Y-A, at USA.com. And as they say, hang in there. Thank you.